Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. That's a great analogy about how we are literally representing another kingdom, another culture, to bring transformation to the earth. And Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So in other words, heaven's culture is going to prevail upon the earth. So let's get used to it and let's enter in. In this kingdom, you're not forced to enter in. And that's the thing you see about the people from the Crystal City House of Prayer. Every one of these people is voluntarily chosen to give their lives completely to the Lord, and they are all out, and therefore they are all in. Whenever they're asked to do something, about a year ago, I told them about the FCA Convergence coming to Winnipeg in May this year. Right away, they said, can we help? Can we help? We want to volunteer. You know, we haven't had one single problem finding volunteers to organize an event like this, because there's people like this that are eager and willing. That's what God is looking for, a heart. There's nothing more important than to serve the purposes of the kingdom of God and to bring heaven's culture to the earth. And so it's an honor. You know, our own history here at Maranatha goes back, within a year of our being birthed in the year 1978, 40 years ago, as of this last month, I think in March, within 1 year of that, the camp at Rock Lake was birthed. And it really came out of a prophetic word that came right out of this local church here. That is part of our roots. And God has led Tyler Amell to bring back a reconnection to our roots at Rock Lake, and who share that heart and desire to see not only believers who come to church Sunday morning, but to see disciples, to see followers of Christ that are going to grow up to maturity and are going to actually be a visible manifestation of Jesus to this generation. That's what the whole creation is longing to see, the manifestation of the children of God. And that is our hope for the future. That's why we don't despair when we see what's happening on the earth, because we have a future. So just last night, you know, we had a powerful time. 22 people, Daniel Fuster led us in a time of prophetic activation. Somebody came to me afterwards. He says, I used to be very uncomfortable when I'm asked to do something like step out of the boat and ask God to give you a word for somebody. You know, God's always speaking. And you don't even realize his word is inside of you, but we need to sometimes take a step of faith and release to somebody else a word of encouragement. And as we develop that culture, you're not going to get a word of condemnation. You're not going to get a word of discouragement. You're going to get a word that puts life into you. But this person said, you know, every word was just so bang on that I knew God is in this, you know. He is speaking to us. And God was using every part of the body, not just, you know, seasoned preachers that are being to Bibles. And that's the vision of Rock Lake. To see the saints equipping the whole family through prayer, fivefold ministry, teaching, fellowship, worship. It's all a part. And so if you look in at one of the inserts in our bulletin today, we are going to be joining together with the Wave Church in Winnipeg to have a family retreat time at the Rock Lake camp during the July 1st long weekend, from Thursday, June 28th until Sunday of July the 1st. And so the Wave Church has kind of requested that we all get a fair chance. They're so taken up with organizing the convergence with us, they preferred that we start the registration on May the 9th. So as soon as May 9th comes, you give Tyler an email and tell him you want to book a room. In the meantime, look up on the Rock Lake website what is available by way of campsites, by way of lodge rooms, cabins, whatever you may need is available. You can be thinking in terms of that. It's going to be a great time. not just listening to speakers, but it's going to be interaction. It's going to be having fun together. It's going to there'll be plenty of opportunity for boating, for campfires, getting to know people, connecting at the heart level. That's what discipleship is all about. So without any further ado, I'd like you to please make welcome this morning the director of Rock Lake Ministries, Tyler Emel, please.
Thanks, Rod. Thanks, Rod.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't do boring. So feel free to talk, communicate, get excited. If you sit there boring, I'm going to think that I'm actually acting boring, and then things are going to fall apart pretty quickly here for us. So as Roger said, I'm the director of Rock Lake Ministries. Well blessed to be here, feeling really really blessed this morning. Isn't that weird how blessing and God's blessing just overwhelms you sometimes when you just think of all the things that He does for you, all the people He brings to you, how it can wash you in this overwhelming sense of like, wow, He's big. Things are awesome. I want to talk to you today, this morning. I'm going to pray quickly here. And then I want to talk to you today, this morning, about kingdom and how we're all part of something bigger than ourselves. Heavenly Father, we just give you this time. Whatever it is that you'd want people to hear, I just ask that you give them a heart to hear it. Whatever it is that you want me to say, I just ask that you give me a heart to say it. And I ask that you just set a fire inside of us. Just set a fire inside of us because you're the king. And we're your princes and princesses. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, and earth, and everything in it." And when Jesus teaches us to pray, He tells us, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This isn't about some future thing. This is about today, right now. This isn't about wait for all these things to happen when you get there. It's about happening today, right now. 10 times in Matthew, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. 10 times He tells us what it's like. He's not telling us so that we know what we're going to get when we die. He's telling us so that we can bring it here. He's telling us what it should look like. Here. Not there. Here. To be princes and princesses here on earth. To have our permanent address, be in the palace, but to be doing the work in the kingdom. We don't live here, guys. House you live in, it ain't yours. I don't care who's got the title. It's not yours. You don't live here. That's just where God's asked you to be, outside of the palace. You live there. That's your permanent address. Forever. That's where you moved in. Romans 8:14-17. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. By Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children, are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." We're heirs. This means that I'm an heir to the throne. No limits, no boundaries, no borders. Think about that for a second. Why is nobody excited in here? Think about it for a second. Why is nobody excited in here? I just told you that you are the adopted child of a king who has no limits, no borders. We're still quiet. So either you don't get it, and you haven't accepted the fact that you're a prince or a princess, or His kingdom is not great. Because I'll tell you this much, if I came to you right now and I said, look, you, we just found out, you're a princess. You're the Princess of Wales. You would freak out. She's already smiling. Right? You would freak out. You would drop everything. You'd quit your job. You'd leave your home. You wouldn't even try to sell it. You'd just walk away. You wouldn't try and take your stuff. You wouldn't do nothing. You would just leave. I'm out. See you later. I'm a princess. I don't need any of this stuff. What do I need this stuff for? I'm going to go move into a kingdom. And when you get there, you're going to train. Right? You're going to train how to be a prince or princess. And when you come back in a year, people are going to be like, look at that guy. Look at that girl. They're not the same. They're not the same. Everything's different. We should be excited about this. Am I the only one excited in the room that I serve a king and he's given me heir to the throne? I own it all, guys. I own this church. I own this ministry. I own the chicken chef across the street. Why? Because my dad owns it. And because Jesus died for me, I get to inherit it. That means while I'm here, I got to build it. Right? I mean, would you walk around in your own kingdom and not repair it? Not fix it? Not serve it? Do you go home and you see a hole in the wall and you just go, ah, somebody else's problem? Right? Is the roof leaking? And you go, ah, I hope the neighbor fixes it. No! You do something about it. Why? Because you take ownership of it. Guys, we're running a family business here.
Right.
Seriously. We're all brothers and sisters. We all are heirs to the same throne. Can you believe that Scripture doesn't say we're underneath Christ? You know, Christ is the main heir and then we come next. It says we're co-heirs. He does all the work. We get to just inherit the throne? That's insane. Right?
Yep.
It's insane. But Romans 8:12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We can't just get excited about it, but we got to take it personal. It's got to be something. It's got to mean something. We have an obligation to this kingdom. What kind of prince or princess do you want to be as you walk around your kingdom? Do you want to be the kind that expects everybody to serve you? Or do you want to be like Jesus, who says the greatest among you is a servant to all?
Right.
Seriously. That's the model for us. That's the prince and princess model. Walk around looking for opportunities to serve. Because you own it all. Because it's yours. Of course you're going to serve it. Right? Not my ministry, my church, my talent, my wealth, but ours. In an effort to build a kingdom, one that won't perish, that won't be destroyed, and can't be defeated. We're asked to walk around as Christ did, looking for opportunities to serve and bless wherever we go. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But don't be the older brother in the prodigal son. Don't say to our father the same as the older brother said. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I love what his father says. We miss the beauty of our adoption when we have that heart posture, what's in it for me? We miss the beauty of the fact that we're heirs to something when we have that heart posture. What's in it for me? My son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. Guys, when we look around, we say, I want more. I want this. I want a party. I want, God, how come you're not answering this prayer? How come you're not doing this for me? How come you're not? We miss it. It's all ours. Quit asking for what you already own.
That's right.
Think about it. That's what the older brother does. How come you gave him a ring? A party. Right? A fatted calf. What's the father say? Why do you want one of something? You own it all.
Come on.
How can I not give somebody one of something when you own all of it? That's what you want? You want the one party? You want the one ring, the one robe? You want that one significant thing? Instead of owning everything? Get excited about this. Get on fire about this. Do something about it. Don't be the older brother. I mean, definitely don't be the younger brother, right? Seriously, because if you're co-heirs with me and you squander half of it, I'm going to really be upset with you, okay? I want us to build something bigger than that, right? I don't want to just throw it away. But don't be the older brother who doesn't see the beauty of owning everything, who's too stuck on the little things, that they miss the big picture. And the father going, what are you talking about? I gave it to you already. How can you ask me for it again? I can't give it to you twice. Everything the Father has is ours. We need to stop building our huts, move into the palace, stop striving for ourselves, and start building up others. If I told you you're a princess today, you wouldn't go back home and try and build a nice little house. You would leave and go live in the palace. That's what you'd do. That's what anybody would do. And yet somehow, when God in all his infinite love for us says, I will adopt you. I will take ownership stake in you. I will take responsibility for you, and I will make you an heir to my throne. We go home, we go, that was awesome. Hey, now I need a bigger TV. I need a bigger house. I need a bigger car. I need a bigger everything. I'm going to build this up. How crazy is that? You take his wealth, build you up. Take his wealth, build him up. Build his kingdom. Let it come right now, right here, right in this town, right in this church, right in yourself, right in your home. Let it come today, here. Walk around like princes and princesses and all the authority of God. Hallelujah. When I go to Walmart, I'm an owner. Yep. Oh, you're laughing. Dude. My father owns your Walmart. My father owns this Chicken Chef. My father owns the Winnipeg Jets. Go Jets, go. Right? Seriously, my father owns all those things. So guess what? Just in natural progression, I own all those things. I do. I pray for the Jets. Every day. Every time they're going to play, we pray for them. And we don't pray for them to win. Right? Because that would be flesh. We pray for hope. We pray for encouragement. We pray for unity. Right? We pray for health. Pray for all these things. How many of you are Jets fans? Okay. Remember at the Kings game, Laine gets hurt, gets hit in the foot. Everybody's freaking out. Oh my goodness, we're going to lose Laine for the playoffs, right? I was at that game. And before anything happened in the national anthem, I prayed for health. And wasn't everybody surprised when they saw Laine the next game? I prayed for not one injury, that nobody would miss a game. Nobody missed a game. I'm going to take credit for that because my father owns that. And I love them enough. I loved what he owns enough to pray for it, to commission him into it, right? I can't put on the blinders to what is happening, to the needs of those around me. If I'm an owner, I can't just walk away like it's somebody else's problem. Just can't. Think about this. Scripture says that we store up treasure in heaven. What's the treasure for? Is it for me? Is it? Or is it for all of us? Because if we're co-heirs, then isn't it for all of us? So when I do a good work and I build up treasure in our kingdom, am I not building it for you? Are you not building it for me? Shouldn't we encourage each other then to build this kingdom together? Right. Not just focus on what I can do, but what we can do? Revelations 4:10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. So even though we inherit authority, we give it all back to the king. So it's for him we build. He's the focus. all their authority. I mean, what's a crown? It's your authority. It's your domain. It's what you've been given responsibility for. And they, in a big heap, they just, I don't know which crown's mine. I don't know which crown's yours. I don't know who had the bigger pot, who had the smaller pot. It doesn't matter. It's all in one big heap. When I envision heaven, I envision this. One mountain of gold that flows into the next, with a sea of people, and you can't tell the difference between anything. It's all one big heap. It's all one big, huge storehouse. It's not separated and well, here's my mansion, and I built all that up, and here's my treasure, and I built all that up, and well, I guess you should have done more on earth because you got this little thing. It's not like that. My Father's house has many rooms. That's what he says. Right? Many rooms. I'm going to go prepare them for you. I'm going to get ready for this. I want to build that so much, I want to see everybody there. I want to see all the biggest treasure. I'm building a kingdom. I want to see this huge, crazy kingdom. I want to see these huge amounts of people, this huge amount of treasure. But guess what? I can't do it all.
That's right.
I can't. And I sure can't do it by myself. I need people for this. And I need people to get it. Not just do it because, you know, there's some benefit to it, but to get it. That it's for something bigger than me. I'm willing to sell everything for this. To give up my whole life for this. To leave it all behind for this. Because I'm moving into the palace. This should be exciting. Your whole life should change. Tangibly, we pick up garbage where we go. We ask to serve others. We clean up after ourselves. We give, we invest, we donate, we look for opportunities, build others up, and make investments. This isn't about throwing your money away. This is about investing wisely. Okay, quickly, who wants $5? Okay, come here. You don't want it that bad if you're not coming up here, come on. Okay, whoa. You're both going to get $5. Relax. We're not going to do some like UFC brawl. Okay? I'm going to show you the difference between giving and investing. From me. This is my own perspective. You guys can feel however you want to feel about this. Okay? It's not even my money I'm giving away. I had to ask the team because I didn't have $5. So last night we're sitting over supper. Who has $5? And everybody's just like, you know we're givers, right? Like, nobody's got any money. Stephanie says, I think I got 2 fives. And I'm like, okay, you're not getting them back. So is that okay? And she's like, yeah. Okay. Now listen, I've learned this the hard way. I've learned it dramatically the hard way. The difference between giving to somebody and hoping God does something weird with it and just saying, hey, I'll show you. So Jesus loves you, man. See you later. You can go sit. He's like, whew, I just got $5. Right? You can keep it. I'm not going to ask for it back. It's not mine anyways. What's your name?
Josh.
Jesus loves you, man. Is there something I can pray for you?
Yes.
Okay. Be vulnerable, dude.
Wisdom in my work.
Cool. Name again?
Josh.
Sorry, your name again?
Josh.
We just thank you for Josh. We thank you for his willingness to stand up in front of everybody. We thank you for wisdom that you're going to give him. We just ask, Lord, that you give him all his heart's desire, your wisdom. Thanks, Josh. Here's $5.
Thank you.
I love you, man. God's with you.
Thank you.
Have a seat. Which one you think had an impact?
Awesome.
Right? Which one's an investment? Which one's going to build my Father's kingdom? Which one's going to go, he's some Jesus freak, whatever. Anybody can give away money, guys. Anybody can give away time. Anybody who can give away talent. Right? We can just throw this stuff around like it's nothing. I've only got so much of it, though. And you know what? When I realize that it's not mine, it's not my time, it's not my talent, God gave me my gifts. right? It's not my treasure. I got to be really careful with what I do with it. Seriously, I'm super cautious. Now, I give like crazy. My wife knows that if it's in my wallet, it's gone, right? Like, don't give me the grocery money because we won't have groceries, right? But I don't just throw it away. I'm very, very intentional about it. Because I'm building a kingdom and I want to build people up. I want to encourage them. I don't want to be like, man, you're a poverty case and I don't care about you. I want to be like, dude, what's your name? What's your story? How can I pray? How can I ask my Father the King something for you? How can I do this for you? Walk around like princes and princesses. You have access to the throne that some people don't have. They don't have access to the King to ask him for anything. You do, though. Walk around with that authority. Right. Make a difference. Make an impact. All right. If you're able, everybody stand, please. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to do something a bit vulnerable. So let it be yes. Right? Take this opportunity. Don't go home and be like, man, I wish I would have done something. Okay? This isn't going to be some weird altar call or whatever else that you're thinking in your head. I want you to really look inside yourself. Do you feel like you're building a kingdom? Do you feel like you're doing something that matters? Are you excited to be a prince or a princess? If you're not, if you're feeling lonely, discouraged, hopeless, all these things, sit down. I'm only going to give you a couple of seconds. Sit down. If you feel like there's more and you're missing it, if you feel like you want this big crazy thing and to be excited about it, sit down. If you're missing it, sit down. If you're hurting, it's hard, I'm lonely, I'm not part of a family, all these things, sit down. Now the rest of you, because we're a family and we're building something, find somebody who's sitting. Put your hand on their shoulder. Don't ask them. Don't ask them why they're sitting. Don't get like all in their business. Don't be like, I'm going to counsel you and give you all this stuff. Just find somebody, put your hand on them and let them know you love them and they're part of something bigger. Find somebody. Take some time. Pray for each other. Love each other. Don't wait, guys. Don't miss the moment. Find somebody to pray for. Go to your Father, the King, for somebody. Father God, I thank you for giving us an opportunity to come together, to come around each other, just love each other, to see your kingdom come here, now, today, right now. Just ask that you move in big ways. Relish the moment, guys. Because if you can't do this, if you can't heal this, if you can't love this, how can you go anywhere and do anything? You just, I'm gonna keep going. If you feel like you want to pray, you do it. We don't do program. I don't do program at the lake, so I'm sure not going to do it here, right? We don't do, now everybody sit, stand, kneel. We don't do this kind of stuff. We just let God just keep moving. If you feel like you still have some stuff to give somebody, you just give it. You pour it out. But I'm telling you guys, if you cannot love each other well, to see the need, to do it together, you will not be able to go out and do anything impactful. You just won't. We got to love each other first. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me. I'm all in." If only 10 of you get it, only 2 of you get it. If only 2 of you leave this place and walk around your community as princes and princesses looking for opportunities to serve and to bless, we will change the world. Only takes a few to just really take hold of this thing and build a kingdom.